Father God, thank you so much for the great privilege of gathering together as your people to celebrate the risen Lord Jesus, the one who died and now is alive again. Help us this morning to find great joy in him. Amen. Today is a day of celebration, of hope, of life, of joy. And I hope we're going to see something of that this morning. It's a day, ultimately, though, to turn our attention to God and praise him for all that he's done in the Lord Jesus. Before we sing praise, though, we're going to just pause and reflect a little bit on the events of Good Friday. If you've got a Bible, if you've got one on your way in, I'd love you to turn with me to page 1060 in this Bible, if you've got one of those. We're in Luke chapter 23. I'm going to read a little bit about Good Friday to set the scene for Easter Sunday. We're on page 1060. And when you found it, if you find the little number 39 at the top of the right-hand column, sentence that starts, one of the criminals. 1060, Luke chapter 23. To set the scene, it's the very first Good Friday. Jesus has been given a fake trial and found innocent but kept in chains, not freed. And now he's been hung on a cross between two criminals. And this is what happens. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." One of the criminals hanging next to Jesus understands that Jesus is innocent. More than that, though, he recognizes who he is, God's promised king. And he says, "Jesus, save me, help me." And did you notice Jesus' words to him in verse 43? "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." As Jesus dies on the very first Good Friday, though he'd done nothing wrong, he dies voluntarily and takes on himself the punishment deserved for sinners. Sinners like the man next to him on the cross, sinners like me and you, who live our own way, who turn our backs on God. He dies, Jesus dies, for people like us. And then he's buried. Have a look down at verse 52 with me. Jesus has died. And this man, Joseph, goes to Pilate and asks for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee, the women who had seen him die, they followed Jesus and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. And then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. Jesus is dead. Jesus is buried. And if he stays dead, we would not be here this morning. If Jesus stays dead, there would be nothing to celebrate and there would be no churches anywhere, let alone on Berry Street West, if Jesus stays dead. But, and this is where the good news of Easter Sunday comes in. Chapter 24, the big number 24, on page 1061. We read this, "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living? among the dead. He is not here. He has risen. He is not here. He has risen. And those words, those seven words, change everything, change the course of history, and they give us a reason to be here this morning. He is not here. He has risen. Jesus, friends, Jesus is alive, and that is what we get to celebrate this morning. He was dead. He was buried. But he was not in the tomb. Jesus is alive. We're going to stand together and sing two songs that help us to reflect on the Easter Sunday and celebrate it. Why don't you stand with me? And we're going to sing together. Do take a seat. Jesus is alive, and so we celebrate. One of the things we do is we sing. If you're here with little people and you want to take them somewhere where you can still hear, but they can play with some toys, the back room through there has toys laid out and a speaker, and so you can feel very free to go through there, and there's toys and a speaker so that you can kind of still hear. Please do that at any point if you need to. Jesus is alive. We're going to think together a bit about that. We're in Luke chapter 24. If you've got a Bible handy, we're on page 1061. And we're going to have a think about some truths from these few verses in Luke's Gospel. Jesus, he died on the cross. He rose from the tomb. And the women who saw him die and saw where he was laid went to the tomb. I wonder if you noticed that. Chapter 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they'd prepared and went to the tomb. They're going to the tomb with their spices, expecting to find Jesus' dead body. They're expecting to prepare it for his long decay. They're expecting to go, put those spices and those perfumes to work in the embalming process so that he decays with some dignity. And yet they enter, verse 3, and they do not find the body of the Lord Jesus. He is not there. And they wonder, understandably so, right? They don't find the body and they wonder, where is he? What's happened? And some people, thinking about this truth from Luke's Gospel, say, well, they must have just gone to the wrong tomb. But they're not stupid. It's not like they were given bad directions by me, and they got it wrong and they went to the wrong tomb. They were there 2 days ago. They saw it, 5, 6 of them, women. They saw the tomb. They saw where the body was laid. Maybe they had a conversation that went something like this. As they see the tomb and the body isn't in there, maybe they thought, hang on a minute, are we in the right place? Is this really the right place? And they kind of think about it together and they go, yeah. I remember the color of the stone. It was this one. And I remember that bush and those trees. And we turned right round that corner and this is it. We're in the right place. They saw where he was laid. They're at the right tomb. Others thinking about this truth, they might say, well, the body was missing because somebody stole the body. And I wonder why anybody would steal it. I guess the Romans or the Jews might have stolen the body for some reason. We can't really work out why they would want to do that. But if they did, if the Romans or the Jews, they stole the body, surely when people said, Jesus is alive again, they would have all said, no, he's not, we've got his body. We stole it, here it is. But they didn't do that. Perhaps they might have said, no, you're wrong, we moved it to this tomb over here, come and see. And all the Christians at the time, all the people who said, Jesus is raised from the dead, would have had to be quiet, because there's his body. But nobody did that. And if grave robbers took the body, which is a thing that happened, grave robbers went to tombs and stole bodies, why did they leave behind the linen strips that were wrapped, he was wrapped in? They were so valuable. And can you imagine stealing a body and wanting to steal it with no wrapping? Just picture that. Running around, trying to steal a naked body. No, they went to the right tomb, and it's not that the body's been stolen. Others might say, and this is the claim of Islam, others might say that he just passed out and fainted on the cross. And so he was laid in the tomb, and the kind of coolness of the tomb over a couple of days revived him. But that overlooks just how good at crucifixion Romans were. You didn't survive those things. And even if he could have survived a crucifixion, he was beaten and hung on the cross. His battered body was laid in the tomb. Nobody can just get up after a couple of days of that and roll away a stone and walk around. Now, here's what we know to be sure from Luke's gospel, who's claiming to put together eyewitness accounts. Luke says the women are in the right place. They saw where he was laid. They went to the tomb. He's in the right place. And the body is just not there. So as the women are wondering, that's when the two angels appear. Bright and shining, gleaming. Verse 4, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Two angels. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. Understandable. Perhaps these are the very same angels who announced Jesus' birth to the shepherds. Now they announce Jesus. He is not here. He has risen. And those seven words in verse 6, they change everything. He is not here. He has risen. I wonder what you think about the idea that Jesus died and then rose again. I wonder what you think about that idea. Jesus died, a man in history, he died and then he rose again. He's alive. A friend was telling me recently about their daughter who was at school. She's seven. She was at school. She came home from school having heard about the resurrection, and she said this: someone coming back from the dead is impossible. I sympathize with her. I do. Ordinarily, that is true, isn't it? 100% of people die and don't come back. That's what we observe. The normal pattern of life is this, isn't it? The normal pattern of life, birth, cute baby. Birth, life with some running and dancing and cycling and standing. Birth, life, death, burial. Isn't that the normal pattern of life? Yes. That's the normal pattern of life. And so you can understand that people find the claim that Jesus is alive, it's a big claim. I wonder, though, if I could suggest to my friend's seven-year-old daughter that this is a better way of phrasing it. This is a better way of phrasing it. Someone coming back from the dead is ordinarily impossible. Usually, normally, it doesn't happen. I'm happier with those words because when Jesus is involved, when Jesus is around, miracles happen. And he himself raises some people in the Gospels. Someone coming back from the dead is ordinarily, normally, impossible. But Jesus does the extraordinary. Jesus, his pattern for life is birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection, alive again. That is Jesus' pattern of life because he is extraordinary. And so, yes, Coming back from the dead is ordinarily impossible, but not for Jesus. He's alive. Kids, you can go into school and be sure Jesus is alive. And if somebody tells you it's impossible, how about you say this instead? Someone coming back from the dead is ordinarily impossible. Because it did happen with the Lord Jesus. You could ask your friend at school, if they say it's impossible for Jesus to have come back from the dead, you could say, well, what do you think about the empty tomb? You could go to a friend and say, what do you think about the empty tomb? What's your explanation? Because there was nobody. So where was it? That'd be a good conversation to have. Someone coming from back from the dead is ordinarily impossible. With Jesus, resurrection is not impossible. He's alive again. The tomb is empty. And so we celebrate. The resurrection of Jesus is good for so many reasons. And we're going to think about one in a moment. But I don't want to rush past the goodness of the resurrection as a just a once upon a time incredible event in history. So we're going to play a little game to help us, okay? I might need your help with this because some of the older people might not know the answer, all right? So if you're younger, you might be able to help. We're going to play a little game, and I've got a couple of rounds for us so that we can get used to the game before the kind of key bit of the game, okay? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put four things on the screen, and I want you to tell me what the link is, okay? That sounds simple enough. Four things on the screen. Tell me what the link is. Ready? Wow! Everybody else was thinking it. Dami just said it really quickly. Was it Emmanuel? Oh, I just saw Dami. Emmanuel, very good. That's right. The link between these four, Paw Patrol. Okay, next one. But if you're over 11, did you get Paw Patrol? Good, well done, yeah, well done. Okay, I think this one's a little bit harder. I'm going to put on the screen, and I don't shout out now, okay, Emmanuel? Let people think about it. Here we go. A car, some cutlery, the Eiffel Tower, and Iron Man. You have a minute. Just have a moment to think about it. Ricardo, do you think you've got an answer? Iron Man. Iron Man is up there. Yep, Iron Man is up there. What links these four things? What do we reckon? Go on. Metal. Okay, metal. Very good. Is that what you're going to say? Good job. Well done. Metal. Is that what you're going to say? Well done. Metal. They're all made of metal. Okay, this one's a bit harder, the next one. Okay, I'm going to put it on the screen in a minute. I've got some props. I've brought my toaster. So the first thing that I'm going to put on the screen is a toaster with a hot cross bun in it. Okay? That's the first thing. Okay, got that in your head? I had to scrape the butter off because I nicked it from the kitchen. Now, this is just from Lidl, but I want you to imagine it's an egg with something growing in it. Okay, an egg. Toaster with a hot cross bun, egg. Plant pot. It's got some soil in there. And I couldn't find any seeds, so let's pretend. It's got seeds in it. Okay, toaster with a hot cross bun, egg, plant pot, with soil and seeds. Okay, they're the three so far. And we're gonna put one more up on the screen, okay? So the toaster, Google had the right one, very good. Toaster, egg, pot, tomb. Okay, have a moment, have a think. What links those four? There aren't many hands up. So either it's really hard or you've got no ideas. Go on, Maria. Easter egg. Okay. What? No. Go on, Josh.
They've all got something inside them.
Ooh. Ooh. they've all got something inside of them. That is good. I think you're getting somewhere. Benji, go on. You can tell me later. Emmanuel?
Sometimes they can be around.
Think about what Josh has said, okay? They've all got things inside of them. That's, you know, that's along the right lines, okay? Anybody want to? They're going to grow. They're going to pop up. I'm hearing good things. Yeah, something's inside of them. That's great. Emmanuel, Dan, yeah?
Jesus is inside of them.
Nah, he's not in the egg. Go on. Yeah, stuff's going to come out of them. What were you going to say? Growth. Stuff's going to come out of them. It's going to grow. I heard a yes over here. What happened? Everything's coming out. I think that's part of it. But the thing is, it's not just that, okay? It's not just that stuff's coming out. It's that stuff's coming out and it's joyful and awesome. Okay? Joyful and awesome. Just think about it. Just think about it for a minute, okay? No good to me in there. The hot cross bun is no good to me in there. If the toaster's not working and it doesn't come out, it's no good to me in there. If the toaster's working but it never pops up, it's no... I mean, you know what happens then, don't you? And then I don't want it. But when the toaster's working properly, when the toaster pops and the hot cross bun perfectly toasted pops out and then it gets layered with loads of butter like a slice of cheddar... Loads of butter. Delicious. Joy flows out as things come out of these things, okay? As the little egg begins to just begins to shake a little bit. It's little crackles. And then some of the shell comes apart and you see a little chick come to life. Amazing. As you watch over time, as you water, as you see the little seeds sprout up and then grow, and then the 8-foot-tall sunflower bursts forth from the pot. It's beautiful, it's awesome, it's wonderful. And so too with the resurrection of Jesus. Just as a standalone event, not for anything that it means. It means so many good things. Just as an event in history, it is unbelievably awesome. And we're going to watch a little video because I just want us to feel something of the goodness of things like this as joy springs forth. Look at the beauty. Isn't that amazing? And so, hot cross buns from toasters, chicks from eggs, flowers from soil, so with Jesus in the resurrection. Wonderful, joyful, beautiful. On Easter Saturday, everything is completely quiet. People are grieving. And then on Sunday, Jesus comes from the tomb, is alive. Death comes out of life. It's awesome. It's beautiful. It's so good. And so we celebrate. Jesus is alive. Now, one of the things that Jesus' resurrection tells us is that he's the king, that God promised a king who would never die, who would be alive forever. And Jesus' resurrection shows him to be that king. We're going to sing a song that speaks of Jesus as the king. And I wonder, as we sing it, once we've sung it, I'm going to ask you why we sang this particular song, okay? There are some actions. I can't always remember them. But if you want to try and follow along with me, you're very welcome to. Go on, Emmanuel.
But you always do the actions.
No, I don't. No, I don't. That's not true. Let's stand together and sing that Jesus is the king. On the words and the actions, so I didn't really see whether you were joining in. But why did we sing that song? Go on, Emmanuel. Absolutely right. Go on, Maria. Absolutely, we did. What do you think, Josh and Benzie? Why did we sing that particular song? Absolutely.
Because he commanded the things to do what he said, and he's the promised.
Yeah, he commanded the things to do what they did, and he said he would rise again. He promised that 3 days after death he'd rise again, and he did. And he's alive. That's why we sang that song. The resurrection of Jesus is a wonderful, glorious event on its own. Just an amazing thing to behold. It's beautiful, like those flowers springing forth. And yet there's more to it, much more. We're just going to think about one thing. Have a look at verse 6, if you've got it open, on page 1061. We're in Luke chapter 24 still. I'm going to read from verse 6. He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while you were still with him in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Did you notice what the angels go on to say? Remember how he told you while he was still with you. Jesus had told all of his followers that he would die, that he would go to the cross, and then the resurrection would happen. But they forgot. They couldn't remember. He promised it. He explained it. But it went from their minds. And it's as the angels tell the women what happened and explain again, don't you remember what he told you? That verse 8, they remembered his words. Before the angels' announcement, the women are a bit confused. After it, all makes sense. All the pieces of the puzzle fall into place. Exactly what he said would happen has happened. What he told them about his death and resurrection is true. And so now they realize, as they realize he's alive, they realize that everything he told them is trustworthy. At Easter, on Easter Sunday, we celebrate because Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, we can know that everything he said, everything he promised, is true. Jesus is alive. And that means that everything he promised is true. Everything he said is trustworthy. Jesus said a lot of things. He promised a lot of things. But if he's not alive, if he didn't come back from the dead, this church wouldn't exist. Christians wouldn't be Christians. But worse, if Jesus isn't alive, he's a liar. If Jesus isn't alive, he's a liar. All the things he promised, this isn't an exhaustive list. Here's a list of some of the things that Jesus said. If he didn't rise from death, if he's not alive, none of these things are true. He said, you can be children of God if you trust me. I can get you through death into eternal life. You have no need to fear if I'm with you. He said, if whoever believes in me will never die but have eternal life, never perish. He said, death is not the end. He said, your sins are forgiven. If Jesus didn't rise, we can just rip up all of these things. None of them are true. We might as well go home. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, Christians should be embarrassed and be pitied and should just not bother. If Jesus isn't alive, nothing he said is true, and yet he is alive, and so everything he said is true. I've got another list. Same list, just printed it twice. Because Jesus is alive, all of these things are true. But indeed, he is alive. And so everything here, and so much more, is guaranteed. He accomplished what is first on this list. He did what is first on this list. He said, the Son of Man, he himself, must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. We can give that one a big tick, and so we can basically tick them all off. Because he's alive, he will do what he said. We're going to just take one example of that. Jesus, he taught people really honestly about the problem of sin. He said he'd come not to hang out with religious good people and look after the goodies, but to save sinners, people who turn their backs on God, who rebel against him, people who ignore God. And Jesus taught that sin has a great consequence. Sin leads to death. And I guess for me, at least, that makes sense. If you turn from God who gives life, death is the result forever. And so Jesus, he says he's come to solve our two big problems, sin and death. He said he was going to die on the cross in the place of sinners. He said he was going to take the punishment that sinners deserve and pay our debt to God. And he said he would rise again, defeating death. And the events of Good Friday celebrate that death. It was dark on Good Friday, that first Good Friday, because God's judgment was poured out on Jesus. Jesus said to the man, on the criminal on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise, because that man trusted Jesus, and so he had eternal life. But if Jesus doesn't rise from the grave on Easter Sunday, everything he promised that man on the cross, that he would be with him in paradise, is not true. He's a liar. And if Jesus remains in the grave, death is still a problem for all of us. And sin has not really been dealt with. Let's try an illustration, a story, to see if we can try and make sense of why Jesus must rise to prove that he's dealt with sin and death. Imagine with me, there's a huge brown bear. Okay, got brown bear in your head? A huge brown bear living in a cave in a hillside who has been terrorizing a local neighborhood village. So you've got a village and a bear, okay? Terrorizing the village. Many have tried to subdue the bear. They've tried to make the bear move on. They've tried to attack the bear, but it's not gone well. Things are looking bad for the village because of the bear. And a young man comes and says, I'm going to go and defeat the bear once and for all. So the villagers, they gather together one summer's day. They gather outside the cave. They're quiet. They're hushed because they don't want to wake the bear. The boy, the young man, he goes into the cave with his knife. He creeps in quietly. The villagers outside, they're waiting patiently, hushed whispers. It's a silly idea. And suddenly in the cave, there's a roar and a scream, and it goes on for a few seconds, and then there's quiet again. And the villagers, they assume the bear's claimed another victim. They start to fear and worry. They start to drift backwards away from the cave because they think the bear might come out and get them. But into that scene, the young man comes out, dragging the bear with him. And so the whole village, they celebrate because they know for sure that the bear is defeated. Their problem has been dealt with because the boy has walked out of the cave. And so as Jesus walks out of the grave, we know that sin and death has been conquered. Jesus said he would die for sin and rise again to bring new life. And he has. He's alive. Sin, our biggest problem, sin that separates us from God, has been dealt with if we trust Jesus. He's alive. And that means that everything he promised is true. He's dealt with sin and death. That's good news on Easter Sunday. But as we begin to close, before we sing our final songs, let me ask you, what do you make of it? What do you think about the claims of Easter Sunday? I'm going to read a little more from Luke chapter 24. And if you listen carefully, I think you'll notice three groups of people, or three people and three reactions to Jesus, the news of Jesus' resurrection. I'm going to ask you what the three groups of people and what the three reactions are, just as a fair warning. See if you can spot the reactions. I'm going to read again from Luke chapter 24, verse 6. "He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day. Be crucified and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they, the women, came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Three groups of people, three responses to the news about Jesus' resurrection. Any offers? Go on, Josh. Don't give me all three, though, because that other people might want to. The apostles, the disciples, yeah, there's a bunch of them. Okay, good, very good, thank you. Josh, did you notice how they react to Jesus? The disciples, do you remember? Anybody spot how the disciples react? Go on, Esther. They didn't believe. The apostles, they didn't believe. Do you notice that? Verse 11. The women, they tell the apostles, Jesus' closest followers, but they do not believe the women. They do not believe. I was trying to think of some emoji reactions, and this is what I got. Can you see that? Does that look like not believing? Is that fair? The disciples, they don't believe. It's not that they wonder about it and they think, oh yeah, maybe. They just don't believe. They just think they're silly. It's ridiculous. The women, they're not making sense. He can't have come back from the dead. That's one reaction. Another reaction? Go on, Benji.
Peter got up and went.
Great stuff. He did. Peter got up. He ran. And he wandered. Now, I think this is a little bit too negative for my liking, okay? It's a little bit too, bit negative, but he's got that monocle in his eyes, he's exploring it, okay? Peter, he's wondering about the tomb. One more reaction to the news of Jesus' resurrection. We've talked about them a lot already. The women. Exactly. How did the women react to the news of Jesus' resurrection? I think initially, they're kind of here somewhere. A bit sad, a bit confused, a bit not sure. Go on, Josh.
The women go to the apostles and tell.
Yeah, they do. But did anyone notice what they do before that? Before they go and tell? They remembered. I think they're pretty happy afterwards. They remembered, and they told. They remembered and they told. They thought about what the angels said and they go, oh yeah, that makes sense. Three reactions to Jesus' resurrection. I wonder where you'd place yourself. If you had to, if I pushed you to give me an answer, I wonder whether you'd be more with the women, oh yeah, that's right, yeah, that is, that makes sense. Or whether you'd be more like the disciples, no, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to believe that. Or whether you'd be more like Peter, running to find out, running to look into it, running to find out more. I wonder where you'd put yourself if you had to place yourself on there. Maybe you're somebody who relates most to the women. Or maybe you've been following Jesus for years and years. You'd call yourself a Christian. You've celebrated many Easter Sundays. Maybe this is the first Easter Sunday you've really celebrated. Remembered here sounds a bit anticlimactic. I want them to be jumping up and down celebrating. Remembered here, though, isn't like, oh yeah, that's where I put the remote. Remembered here is, hang on a minute. He did say that. He did say that he would die and then rise again. And he also said that he would bring us with him into a new creation. And he said, hang on a minute, this changes everything. Remembering, like the women, is a life-changing thing. Let me tell you how I have been encouraged by remembering this week, okay? About nearly 9 years ago, kind of now, Lizzie's dad really sadly died. But he was a Christian. He trusted Jesus. And Jesus says, if you trust me, you will never perish, you'll have eternal life. That is refreshing to my soul. As I think about a lost loved one who trusted Jesus, as I remember what Jesus said, as I remember that Jesus is alive and everything he said is true, there is joy in my heart because I remember that Lizzie's dad is not truly dead, but living with Jesus. Maybe that's a help to you if you've lost a spouse or a loved one who trusted Jesus. They're not really dead. They're alive with him because he is alive and everything he said is true. This Easter Sunday, let that truth encourage you, refresh you, remember again all that is true because Jesus is alive. Maybe you relate most to the disbelieving disciples. Maybe you think it's all a bit silly, this talk of resurrection. Nobody comes back from the dead. Can I ask you what would persuade you? What would persuade you that Jesus really did rise from the dead? What would it take? And if there's something that stops you believing that Jesus rose from the dead, I would love you to come and tell me what it is. I'd love to chat about that. If you're with the disciples not believing, come and talk to me. I'd love to hear why. Perhaps you relate most, though, to Peter. You kind of think, oh, that's interesting. You might describe yourself as an agnostic, maybe. Somebody who kind of doesn't really know about God or doesn't really know what they think about Jesus. Now, this Easter is a great time to do what Peter did, to go and explore the evidence of the empty tomb and find out more. Think again. Ask your questions. Think about the alternative explanations. Think about whether it's possible that Jesus really did rise from the grave. I think there's two things I would love you to do. If you relate to Peter and you kind of want to think more, there's two things I'd love you to do. The first one is, if you're free tonight, at Raglan School at 7:30, there's going to be a performance of the whole of Mark's Gospel. We've been thinking about Luke's Gospel. There's going to be a performance of the whole of Mark's Gospel. Titus is in it. He'd love to see you there. But it will help you to think about the whole story of Jesus and whether it's really true that he died for sin and rose again to defeat death. Go along to that if you're able to. If you need a babysitter, I bet I could find you one who is trustworthy. The other thing I'd love you to do, at the back, behind Nigel's head, there are a bunch of copies of a little book that takes you through some of the evidence for the resurrection. They're free. If you want to take one of those because you feel a bit like Peter and you want to find out more, take one away, have a read, come and tell us what you thought of it. Easter Sunday. Jesus is alive, and so everything he said is true. He has defeated sin and death. Everybody who trusts in him can have eternal life forever and strength for today. That's the promise. That's what we celebrate. We're going to sing now two songs as we come to a close. Two songs that help us to reflect on the Easter story and what it might mean for us personally. Would you stand with me? Our Father, we thank you so much for the great gift of Easter. Thank you for Good Friday, where Jesus dies on that cross to deal with sin. Thank you for Easter Sunday, where he rises from death to prove that death is dealt with. And we praise you that everyone who trusts in Jesus can be assured of eternal life. Our Father, we thank you so much for the hope of Easter that gives us strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. We thank you that death is dead, that love has won, that Christ has conquered. And so now we sing that Jesus, he is our only hope. Thank you so much for him. Amen.